Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 19 says, and for me. All right, now we need to back up to verse 18 to catch the context. Verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me. So he says, pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may be open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. For that ye also have know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. You know, among the duties of life, I tend to neglect certain duties. Maybe you do too. I tend to neglect washing the car. I tend to neglect washing my dog. I tend to neglect mowing the lawn. And I tend to neglect going to the dentist. Especially going to the dentist. And maybe, you know, you could come up with a list of things that you tend to neglect in life. You know, the things that you know you should do, but you got them on your list, but, oh, I don't want to do that. Another time. And those things that we just don't want to do. But you know, there's things in our spiritual realm as well that we often neglect. And here in this section here, Paul mentions three oft-neglected duties. Three duties that we often neglect that we really need to take heed to, because they are duties and things that we need to do, and God wants us to do them. And we're going to look at those three oft-neglected duties tonight. First of all, we need to pray for God's servants. Pray for God's servants. Often we get so busy with the cares of our own lives that we forget to pray for the servants of God, including your pastor and his wife and our missionaries and evangelists and those who are in full-time service of God. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't pray for each other. He just mentioned that in verse 18 that we should be praying for each other. So I'm not neglecting that. But there's a special need to pray for those who are in the service of the Lord full-time, because the devil hates God's servants. The devil wants to destroy God's work. And if God can destroy the leadership, God can destroy the work. And so the devil is out to destroy and to cause problems for those who are in God's service full time, ministering for him. Now, we should pray, first of all, for their spiritual needs. Notice here that Paul says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel. Now, he's asking for his spiritual need. He said, I've got a spiritual need, and that spiritual need is for boldness. Now, that is very peculiar, maybe, or very convicting that that statement comes from Paul. Now, here's why. You think about it. When Paul got saved, where was he when he got saved? Who remembers? What city was he in when he got saved? Damascus, or near Damascus, all right? So he was saved when he was near Damascus. And while he was still yet in Damascus, what did he do? He began to preach the gospel right there in Damascus, right after he got saved. And then he was persecuted so much there in Damascus that he had to escape Damascus by being put down over the wall in a basket to get out of there to save his life, because immediately people hated him for preaching the gospel. But then we find also that he, throughout his ministry, multitudes of times, he was persecuted for preaching the gospel. Once in Lystra, he was stoned, left for dead, and they thought he was dead. And you can be sure that the guys who were throwing rocks at him were pretty confident that he was dead. And they hauled him out, threw him on the junk pile, and God raised him up. Now, whether he died and God raised him from the dead, or whether he was just knocked unconscious, nobody knows. God doesn't tell it for sure. But either way, he was in bad shape, and God raised him up. And he was able to walk back into town, which is a miracle in itself. So I think God had certainly had his hand in all that, that he was able to walk even back into town. But he was persecuted again for his preaching. Then in Jerusalem, toward the end of his life, he was he was there peaceably, and the mob saw him, and they said, there's a guy that's been preaching heresy. Get him, get him. And they grabbed him, and they were beating him, going to kill him. There right in Jerusalem, in the streets of Jerusalem, and the soldiers came, rescued him, took him up to the palace, and they thought, too, he was a troublemaker, and he said, no, I'm not a troublemaker, I'm just preaching the gospel, and let me talk to the people, and he spoke to them in Hebrew, and the soldier was very surprised that he could speak Hebrew, and he says, yeah, I can speak Hebrew, and he says, I'm a peaceful Jew, and so he let him preach, again, he preached the gospel, and as soon as he mentioned salvation for the Gentiles, ooh, they exploded again, wanted to kill him. So all through Paul's life, he is a man of boldness. He's a fearless man, a man who's preaching the gospel in all kinds of situations where I probably would ran and hide. And he didn't. We look at a testimony that he gives us that just is amazing. In 2 Corinthians, you might want to flip there if you want to, but I'll quote a lengthy passage here. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 28. It says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice was I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils in mine own country, by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul said, I've been through all kinds of persecution, and yet he kept on preaching. Now, with all of that in mind, here he is now sitting in prison in Rome, waiting for trial, and he writes to the Ephesians, and he says to them, pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel. If there was any person in the Bible that you could say, there was a courageous, fearless person that never quit, was always preaching, it'd be Paul. And yet Paul says, pray for me, I need boldness. I need boldness to preach the gospel. Now, what that does for me, when I see Never Quit Paul doing that and asking for prayer because he's burdened about his lack of boldness, I think, what about me? What about me? I'm not nearly as bold as Paul is. And Paul thought and realized he needed boldness. And so one of the things you can pray for when you pray for the preacher and you pray for the missionaries and pray for evangelists is pray that God will give them boldness. Boldness to preach even when it's not popular. You know, one of the major reasons we're seeing a great change in our world today in the type of preaching that is in our world, it is becoming a soft preaching. It is becoming a preaching that they don't want to address sin. Don't talk about sin because that offends people. Don't talk about anything that's going to hurt somebody's feelings because if you do that, they'll leave. And we don't want that. We want it all to come. And it's all about feeling-oriented things today. And it's not easy for a preacher to stand up and say, thus saith the Lord, that is wrong. Don't do that. And so the preachers need boldness. And there's more and more pressure on people all the time to soften the message because you hurt my feelings. And I don't like you talking about those kind of things. And if you keep doing that, I'm leaving. And no preacher wants people to leave his church. You know, over the years, it broke my heart multitudes of times when people leave. Many times people have moved away, but there's been some times people have left because they didn't like what we believed. And that breaks my heart. I don't get any joy in seeing people walk out the door saying, I don't like what you believe. But we've got to stand true. And so pray for boldness. The preacher and the missionaries, you know, pray for our missionaries. You think about their needs. They face dangers. I mean, I think of Brother Crow. And he's got more courage than I do a lot of times. I think he goes into these villages where they're shooting each other and killing each other. And just last night, there was somebody that, you know, not last night, but I mean, it may have been in that situation where just Saturday night, somebody was killed and he goes in there Sunday morning to preach the gospel. You know, I mean, they could just, a group that is that volatile, they could just suddenly turn on him, and he'd be the next one in line. I mean, that is a possibility. Pray for boldness. Pray for boldness for God's servants. So Paul reminds us of this. And it's not God that gives us that spirit of fear. Paul reminded Timothy of that in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7. He says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That spirit of fear that we get, and you face it too, when you have an opportunity to share the gospel with someone and give it a track to them, and all of a sudden fear comes across your heart and think, what if I say the wrong thing, and what if I mess it all up, and what if they say no, and what if they get mad, and all those things go through our mind, and many times we say, no, I'll walk away, I don't want to do that. And we get afraid. The spirit of fear is not from God, it's from the devil. And we need to recognize that and pray for boldness. Pray for each other for boldness, but especially pray for God's servants for boldness, that God would help His servants to be bold in their preaching. But then also, he asked for prayer for his physical needs. Now, he didn't do it in an open way, but he did it in a subtle way. Notice what he says there. That utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. What's he saying? He reminded them, I'm an ambassador in bonds. I'm in prison. I'm in prison for the cause of Christ. That is a physical problem. Now, in prison, it wasn't like it is today. They don't have wall-to-wall carpet and a television and a pool out back that you can relax in and all those kind of things. It was full of rats, it was cold, it was smelly, the food was terrible, and many people never survived their prison term because they died in prison. And Paul was in that kind of a situation. So he says, remember that I'm an ambassador in bonds. He said, remember that I'm in prison, and I need your prayers for me. And we need to pray for those who are in situations like that. But it's interesting, he uses the word ambassador. Now, I learned something this week as I was studying. I looked up that word ambassador to see exactly what it meant. And it's got a double meaning. But you know what the first meaning is? Very surprising. The first meaning of the word, this translated ambassador, is an old man. It means an elderly person. But then the secondary kind of supplemental definition means an ambassador, one who represents a foreign country. And Paul may have had both in mind. At this time, he was an old man, but he was also an ambassador. He was presenting the cause of Christ to a lost world. And so both of them probably had a play there, the old man and the ambassadorship that he had. And he talks about his bonds, his chains. He was in prison. And so there was these needs, physical needs that he had. And we too must pray for the physical needs of God's servants. Age, illness, and physical burdens threaten to hinder the ministry. You know, you think of our missionary Brother Crow. He has got Lyme's disease. He's had, probably still does, lots of parasite problems. His family has had illnesses. They've had all kinds of issues, and yet he presses on, but it's not easy. It frustrates him when he has to spend a whole week in bed because he can't get out of bed because of his sicknesses. That is frustrating to him. And think of, you know, from a human perspective, much more could be done in the ministry if he didn't have to be confined to bed because of his illnesses. And we need to pray for him. Pray, God, please help Brother Crow get over these issues. Help him to get well. Help him to be able to find a solution to these illness problems so he can get back into ministering with his time more efficiently. But God's in control, and God knows what he's doing. And I'm not questioning God, but we can certainly pray. And God wants us to pray. We think of Brother Schmidt. He's had some heart problems, and he's certainly not young anymore. He's slowing down, and it's hindering his work. We can pray, God, be with Brother Schmidt. Help him in those physical needs that he has. And Benjamin and Lauren. Lauren has had sickness over the years, and she's stable at the moment. But we can pray for their health. Anytime they're in that kind of an environment, they are faced with one big problem, and that is parasites. It's an unhealthy environment. The people aren't very sanitary with their sanitation situations. And as a result, they end up with parasites and they pass it on. And the missionary ends up getting the parasites. And the people, they're tough with that because they've had them all their lives and they're kind of almost immune to those kind of things. But the missionary gets it and all of a sudden you can't function like you once did. You lose your energy and you feel ill and it slows you down. And Benjamin and Lauren have faced some of those things. So we need to pray for them. And Melody and I certainly know what it's like to be slowed down by the same thing. The parasites have slowed us down, and we're trying to get on top of all this and gain our strength. But we need prayer. So God's servants not only have spiritual needs, but they also have physical needs that hinder the gospel. So Paul is saying here, pray for me, pray for me. There is a great need. Pray for God's servants that they will be bold ambassadors for Christ and that God would sustain them physically. But then we find a second neglected duty, and that is to encourage one another. Look at verse 21. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. Now, Paul here mentions Tychicus. Paul sent Tychicus to Ephesus on a twofold mission, and the first part of that mission was to report on Paul's imprisonment and his health and his well-being. So Tychicus is bringing a message with him as he comes to Ephesus. I believe Tychicus is probably the man who is carrying the scroll of the book of Ephesians. And he's taking it with him, and he's going to Ephesus from Rome. He's been with Paul in Rome in prison, visiting him in prison, and he's carrying this to Ephesus. And one of the things he's supposed to do is to tell the people how I'm doing. Alright, so Paul doesn't go into details here. He's probably going to tell them about Paul's physical condition. You know, maybe he's sick, or he's having some struggles, or maybe all is well. Paul's doing fine. Keep praying for him, though. I don't know what the situation was. Paul doesn't elaborate on this. He just says, pray for me. And so he's taking this information to them, also talking to them probably about his prison sentence. You know, when's the sentence, or when's the trial coming up, and what do they expect the verdict to be, and do you think you're going to, all those kind of things. So he's taking all this information and carrying it with him. He's encouraging the people there at Ephesus. But also, his second mission was to specifically to encourage the hearts of the Ephesians. It was to encourage them, build them up, and comfort their hearts. And so we ought to do the same. We ought to share blessings with each other. You know, it's easy to remember our problems and our heartaches and the troubles and the things that bother us, but we need to share blessings with each other. Encourage each other. You know, when we get together, we need to make sure that we are being an encouragement like Tychicus was to the other people. But notice something specific about Tychicus. Paul mentions a little bit about his testimony. He said he calls him a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord. Now think about that. If the Apostle Paul, if you had just visited the Apostle Paul in prison, and you were and he was going to send you back to Ephesus with the scroll under your arm, and he says, now go tell them what's happening to us, what would he call you? Would he be able to call you a faithful minister and a beloved brother? Pretty good compliment. I love him. He's my brother in the Lord. He's a beloved brother, great brother in the Lord. He's faithful to the Lord. He's a great brother in the Lord. What a great compliment from the Apostle Paul to say about Tychicus. Great thing. You know, that is something to remind us. And also we see here that he was dependable. You know, Paul wouldn't have sent that valuable scroll to Ephesus with Tychicus if he didn't trust him. If Tychicus was one of these guys that would get distracted and forgot the scroll. Sorry, Paul. I left it on the ship. I'm sorry. Now, if he was one of those kind of, you know, forgetful, irresponsible people, Paul wouldn't have sent it with him. But he was dependable. And he said, Tychicus is a beloved brother. He's a faithful minister. He's dependable. And I can trust him. And you read in the Pauline epistles, Paul several times mentions Tychicus. And at least for the letter of the Colossians, it sounds like in Colossians chapter 4 that he also took the letter of the Colossians to the Colossian people as well, probably the same time. And then Paul sent him there to Ephesus in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He sends him to Ephesus to help out with the ministry there. So Tychicus is a man who Paul trusts. And Paul sent him there to minister in these ways. Now, over in the book of Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 25, we read a very interesting verse. It says, cold waters, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. As cold waters is to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. If you're thirsty, nothing like a cold drink of water to satisfy the thirst, meet the need. At our youth activities, you know, the kids run around playing dodge or whatever they're doing, and we take a break, they all run for the water. They want that cold water because it satisfies a thirst and the need. And here Solomon writes that so is good news from a far country. And so when we hear good news, you know, maybe it's us sending an encouraging note to our missionaries and writing them and saying, I'm praying for you. You know, there are a few people over the years that have written to us, and can't say there's been a lot, but there's been a few people over the years that have written to us from America and said, I'm praying for you. I got one pastor friend that almost every week when I send out my little update and tell him how things are going for the week, he'll write back just a one-liner, I just now prayed for you. That's basically what he says, I just prayed for you. And that is an encouragement to my heart. For two reasons. I know he got my letter, but I also know that he thought about us and he did pray for us. That's an encouragement. You know, we can be an encouragement to our missionaries. When's the last time you ever wrote one of our missionaries? Just send them an email. They all have email. Just send them a short little email. And I got all their email addresses right here. If you don't have their email addresses, you can either email me and say, give me their address. I'll send them to you. Or you can come and write them down after the church service. Send them an email. Just tell them, I'm praying for you. Now, you may not hear back from them right away. Brother Schmidt's not a real active writer. And Benjamin's busy and doesn't write too much, even to his old dad. And Brother Crow, he's very busy and he doesn't write very much either. But I can guarantee one thing, they'll appreciate hearing from us. Knowing that someone over there in Western Australia is praying for them would encourage their hearts. And you know, we can do that to encourage others. But you know, not only just our missionaries, but also we ought to encourage each other. You know, just if somebody has done something that's been a blessing to you, why not just go up to them and say, that was a blessing to me. Thank you. I appreciate that. And whatever it is, just try to be an encouragement. Maybe they're having a hard time. Maybe you just heard that they're having a difficult situation. Go up to them, put your arm around them, and say, listen, I've been praying for you. Hang in there. You can do it. And be an encouragement to them. And that can be a great blessing. So we need to get involved and be a help in any way that we possibly can. And to share these things, share these blessings, even sharing blessings that God has done to us. So it's one of the reasons why we have testimony times on Sunday night. Because it isn't just to give you something to say. It is so that we can say, that was a blessing. God met needs. And God answered prayer. And God was a help there. And God met this need. We've got a great God. We need to see that. Instead of it's just what I've experienced, I can see what God is doing in somebody else's life. And it can be an encouragement to all of us to see that God is working in our midst and helping us. Now, he goes on there and he says in verse number 22, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts. The word comfort there is a word I want to focus on for a moment. It's a word that comes from a Greek word that has got a broad definition. It's the Greek word parakletos, or it's related to that word, and it means to be in encouragement. It literally means to call someone to your side. It's to say, come over here. Let me put my arm around you. I want to talk to you for a moment. Let me talk to you a minute. And then it can be an encouragement. It can be a comfort. It can be a warning. It can be a begging. It can be expressing some need. But you're calling somebody to your side to be able to express to them something from your heart. And many times it has the idea of being an encouragement. It's translated as a comfort here. But you know as well as I do that comfort and encouragement are very close to the same. If someone comforts you, it is also an encouragement. And so the idea here is to bring someone close to you. Go up to someone and put your arm around them and say, listen, I'm praying for you. I want you to know I love you. Hang in there. It'll be okay. Or tell them a word of encouragement or give them some kind of a word that can build them up in some way. Because we need to have an encouragement. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. Constantly the devil comes to us and said, you're no good. God didn't forgive you. You're a lousy rat. You can't do anything right. Look at your life. Look at the way you are. He's an accuser of the brethren. And you know, sometimes preachers get a lot of accusing from the brethren. This week, I have to admit, I talked to Melody earlier in the week. I said, Mel, you got to pray with me and pray for me because the devil's on my back this week. Just accusing me and getting me down and oppressing me. I need your prayers. And so you need to pray for the preacher. Pray for your missionaries. Pray for this because it is a burden. When the devil is out to oppose us and accuse us, the Bible says he seeks to devour us. He is a liar. He is our enemy. He attacks us and he tries to discourage us and defeat us in every way. And he does it for each of us. And we need to pray for each other and pray, God, please help them to stay encouraged. Last week we emphasized, and if you weren't here, you can get it from the web. It's on the web. But we emphasized the importance of praying for each other and the need to pray for each other and to pray that God would keep us from temptation. Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 17 says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Just like iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. You take a hard iron file or tempered steel and rub it against a knife and it'll sharpen it like a file. And he says, just like iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. We ought to be files that are sharpening our friends. And we ought not to be hammers that are blunting their blade. We need to be filing them, making them sharper, making them better. And our character, your character, the way that you are around your friends ought to be sharpening them, building them up, making them a better person just because they've been around you. And what a blessing it would be. And you could probably think of times that this has happened. You've been around a certain person and it seems like every time you're around them, you go away feeling like, boy, that lifted me up. That was an encouragement to me. That helped me. I need to work on that. I am not the greatest encourager. I can think of lots of things to complain about, but I'm not the best encourager. And that's bad. I need to work on that. And maybe you have to work on it too. But let's work at encouraging each other, sharpening each other, making each other better, so that when someone's around me, they can go away saying, that lifted me up. That was an encouragement. And when they're around you, they can say, wow, that was great. I enjoyed that few minutes I had with them because I went away feeling like it was a boost to my spiritual energy. That's the way we ought to be with our friends. So we need to build each other up. So he tells him to encourage one another. And we need to do that. We need to encourage our spouse. We need to encourage our parents. We need to encourage our children. We need to encourage our friends and our pastors and our missionaries and each other. Encourage them. Find some ways to be an encouragement to them. And be a blessing. You know that we need to express our appreciations. You know, that's so simple. We try to teach the kids, but they struggle to learn because it's against their nature. And as adults, if we didn't learn it good as a kid, then we don't do a very good job of expressing thanks and appreciation either. And we need to work on that because when someone does something to us or for us that is a blessing, we ought to say, I appreciated that. That was a blessing. Thank you. Just a little words can go a long ways to make a better day for them. Now, I'm not saying we're trying to get everybody with a big head. That's not the point. The point is, if they've done something that's been a blessing, let them know. If the missionary has done something that's been a blessing to your heart, you read something in your paper, let them know. And when there's something that you've learned from the message that can be a help to you, it's a big boost to my heart. Because sometimes Mondays are preachers' worst days of the week. Because you get to reflect on what happened on Sunday. Yeah, I should have done that better. I should have said that a little differently. And oh, that didn't go over very good. And all that. And then the devil's on your back and you feel like, oh, I really messed that up. And you know, preachers go through those struggles. And you don't understand that if you've never been in that situation. But preachers, missionaries, evangelists, they all go through those kind of struggles. Because you look back over what you did and you think, I could have done it a little different, or I messed that up, or I shouldn't have said that, or, you know, and all these things, and the devil comes on you and starts knocking on your door and say, hey, you know, you really blew it yesterday. That was no good. That was rotten. And oh, what a lousy thing. And you just feel down. And we need that encouragement. So encourage each other, but especially encourage the ministers in the Word. That can be a great ministry of encouragement. But then the last thing I want to notice here, there's another often neglected duty found down in verse number 24. Verse 24 says, grace be with all them that love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Loving the Lord in sincerity is something we often neglect. Paul prayed that God's grace or His divine help would be upon the Christians in Ephesus who loved the Lord in sincerity. Now, His choice of words here acknowledges that not every Christian loves the Lord. All right? Not every Christian loves the Lord. And not every Christian that loves the Lord sincerely. And Paul acknowledges this, or else he wouldn't have even said that. Why would he say something like that? He could have just said, grace be to all the Christians. But he didn't. He said, grace be to those who love the Lord and love the Lord in sincerity. And so, here's something that we often neglect. We often neglect loving the Lord. Now, Christians have every reason to love the Lord. We really do. Think of one verse that really kind of says it all. Is in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. He says, we love Him because He first loved us. If we didn't have any other reason to love God than that, that's a good enough reason. Because He first loved me. He loved me. He came to this earth for me. He died for me. He loved me. He wants me to go to heaven. He made me His child. He loves me. And I ought to love Him. And so we ought to love the Lord. Love is giving. We've talked about that many times, that love is giving. And if you love God, give Him quality time in the Bible and prayer every day. If you love Him, let Him know. Give God of your tithes and your offerings. If you love God. If you love God, get involved in His service. Pass out tracts. Witness. You know, join the church and work and get involved. But show yourself that you love God. Put it into action. Don't just say it with our words. We need to get involved in love is giving. It isn't just a passive thing. And then God wants us to love Him in sincerity. The word sincerity has the idea of genuineness without any corruption. I've heard it described or illustrated, and perhaps this is true, I think it probably is, that in Bible days, they would have the potters, when they were making pottery, that if it put it in the kiln and the pot came out and it's got a crack in it. And he spent hours on this thing. And how discouraging to make this beautiful pot, beautifully shaped, and when he baked it, it cracked. And dishonest potters would take their candle and drip wax in the crack. Fill up the crack with wax, smooth it over, sand it off, and paint the pot, and it would look perfect and beautiful. And when a person that was wise was buying a pot, they would go and pick up the pot, and they would hold it up to the sun, and they would look at it and rotate it around and see if there was any sunlight coming through a waxed crack. And if there wasn't, it was a genuine or sincere pot. And you know, we need to be a genuine and sincere Christian in our love for God. Have a genuine love, not a cracked love. Not a love that is just filled up with wax and faking it, but a genuine, sincere, wholehearted love for God. One that is showing God by our actions, God, I love You. I want to do Your will. I want to serve You. I want to get involved. I want to be a blessing to You. God, You are a blessing to me. Now, if we truly love God, you know, we ask ourselves that question, you know, do you love God sincerely? And if I was to go down the road tonight, and I won't do this because I wouldn't want you to do it to me. And if I said, do you love God sincerely? All of us would, of course, want to say, oh, yeah, I love God sincerely. Because nobody wants to say, no, I don't love God sincerely. I'm just faking it. We would want to say that we genuinely, sincerely love God. But then we ask ourselves this question, does the evidence prove that I really do? Does the evidence prove that I really do? When my life is held up to the sunlight, are there cracks in my love for God? Am I really showing it in my actions, in the way that I live, the way that I conduct myself, the way that I act, the things that I do, the places I go, the activities I'm involved in, the way that I dress, the way that they talk, the things that I listen to, the things that I watch? Do all of this show I really love God? Or are there cracks in my life? And God says, I want you to be sincere. John records Jesus' words in John chapter 14 and verse 15. Jesus said, if you love Me, keep My commandments. John repeats the same type of a thing in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 3, where he says, this then is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. John also mentions, John was a man who loved God. And John mentions in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, remember he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now it's not talking about God's love for me is not in me. When it talks about the love of the Father, it's talking about my love for the Father is not in me. So he says, if I love the world, I don't love God. And if I love God, I won't love the world. He says, you can't do both. They're opposites. They're like the opposite ends of a magnet. You cannot love the world and love God at the same time. And so he says, if you love the world, you don't love God. Also in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20, he says, if any man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? So he says, if you say, well, I love God, but I hate this guy down the street. You know, when he talks about brother, he may be talking about Christian brother, but nonetheless, whether it's a Christian brother or a physical brother or just someone that's a human brother, we ought not to hate them. And he says, if there's a hate there, something's wrong. Something's wrong in our heart. And he says, we don't love God like we say we do. Now, as we look at that, it really makes us stop and ask ourselves that very sober question. Do I really love God sincerely? Or are there cracks in my love? And again, it's one of these neglected duties. Neglected duties. And so we've looked at three neglected duties tonight. We've looked at the neglected duty of praying for God's servants, where we often forget to pray for them. We pray for our family and our needs, but we forget about the preacher and the missionaries and the evangelists and those around the world that are preaching the gospel and those that are in bonds. We forget about them. We need to remember that. And I need to keep working on that. I have a list. That's one of the reasons why I pray with a prayer list or a journal, because I can't remember. And so I have it divided up and I pray for certain missionaries and certain preachers each day so that I don't forget. And God wants us to remember them. But then also we need to encourage one another. Encourage each other. Encourage the preachers, yes, but also encourage brothers and sisters in Christ. And share blessings with them. And thank people when they've done something that's been a blessing to you. And be a help and encouragement. Just be encouraging one another. God says, I want you to do that. And that's why Paul sent Tychicus, to be able to tell them how he was doing. He says, pray for me. Yes, but here's how I'm doing. All the details about my life. This is what's going on in my life. And thank you for your prayers. I appreciate that and all this. And then he was doing that to be an encouragement. He sent Tychicus to comfort them, to encourage them, to build them up. And so we need to do that with each other. And then thirdly, to love the Lord in sincerity. Love the Lord in sincerity. So as you look at these three often neglected duties, perhaps one or more of them have been neglected in your life. Maybe not all the time, but a lot of times you neglect it. Then my challenge to you tonight is, let's just confess it to God, ask Him to forgive us, and ask Him to help us to begin doing what we need to do, that we might be faithful in these areas of praying for others, encouraging one another, and loving God sincerely.